This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Today is your lucky day. The champ uploaded a new video and you found it. I'm joking. It's your lucky day because IslamNet is establishing a mega masjid and dawah center, and you have a unique opportunity to be part of that. So click the link below and donate now.
Allahumma ameen, but what can I do? So that's why I speak to them, bro. We resonate with the youth, and the youth want to be heard, but no one's giving them that platform or that opportunity. Then call your local hood.
What do you think that the youth wants? What do you think that they want to get out there that's not getting out there?
Do you know what it is, bro? It's their voices that are not being respected and heard inside the household and the community. So therefore, they find it in the nearest person that could be like a father figure, but it's not a father figure. So the man on the block, the trap guy. So it's a form of grooming them. So I'll give you a prime example. I can give you $100 today. And then I'll come back the next week and I'll give you another 100. And then the week after that, I'll take you shopping and say, yo, you want some Jordans? Or so now that I've done all of these things to you, I'll be like, yo, I want something in return.
Listen.
You feel me?
Don't tell them about my strategy with my wife, please, yeah?
But I'm trying to get to LA, man.
What do you want to do now?
I want to conquer. I'm not there to take over. Taking over takes time. Conquering is by force.
That's Warner's territory.
Huh? That's Warner's territory. Conquer with me. You're conquer with me, bro.
We're on the same team, man. Yeah. Have you been to LA before?
Never. Actually, I don't even think I'm even allowed in the country.
No, you're not banned, but it's now they've made it harder for people to get in.
A little, man.
For anyone to get in.
Yes, US, yes. No, it's difficult for anyone, even a layman, even a layman.
Let me know.
The London youth is very clearly different than the American youth. Like, I think the LA youth, their voices are heard. Like, we're more on social media, it seems like, than these people here. What do you think the main difference is?
I'm going to be honest with you. Londoners, I'm going to say UK, forget London. UK's got more heart than the US.
Okay.
When it comes to bravery, and when it comes to, no, I'm being real. I'm being real.
We started this.
Look, UK, they've been smoking a different type of joint, bro. Yeah. Their bravery's come out of nowhere. You can't compare them to the US. But a crackhead will kill you in the UK. A crackhead in America now. That man are doing the mannequin challenge for me. Let it be known. But now the bravery is tremendous. And actually, look, if we had guns the way you man have guns,
this place would be
game over.
Yeah.
Game, actually, the purge will be the UK. If guns could be as easy as carrying.
No, but it could be argued the opposite. Let me explain. If you look at the US, now I know what you're thinking, and it's a. It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
If you look at the US, there's different gun rules in it, and you guys will tell me. You, Warner, we need you here, man.
Wait. Yeah, I'm going to use the restroom.
Alright, so but there's different gun rules, yeah? You know the concealed carry and the open carry and different ones, yeah? If it was true that the more access you have to guns, and the more accessibility and opportunity you have with them, the more violence would occur, then Texas should be the most violent state. It's right. Not, though.
So good point.
Yeah, so Chicago's, because if you know of a woman, look, think about it, brother. Knife crime, if I'm walking in the street right now, and there's a 14-year-old with a big Rambo knife, he sees me, and he might think to himself, this guy's not carrying anything or whatever. And therefore, I got a chance against him. Maybe he'll think, oh, he's a bit big, so I won't go for him. I'll go for a smaller person. Maybe he'll think
me.
No, but what makes these guys brave? Yeah. What makes these guys brave with knives is the asymmetry in the equation.
Yeah.
But if he knows that this guy probably has a Glock in his pocket, and he might use it, bro. If you're in Texas, if you're in Texas and you know that the old woman has a gun in her pocket, bro, in her pocket, you're not gonna want to rob her that much. So it could be argued that part of the problem why we have an issue with knife crime in the UK, London, is because of the asymmetry in opportunity.
Right.
That some, you're not allowed to carry, like in the UK, you're not allowed to carry more than 2-3 inch knives. If everyone was allowed to carry 10 inch knives. You could make an argument. I'm not saying it's the case.
Sometimes the smaller the better still.
No, you got more reach. What I'm saying is that if you're allowed to carry that, people would maybe think twice about using it, because now we're in a fight. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you're more likely to use it if you think you're not going to get it back. Mm-hmm. But if everyone's got 10-inch knives and they're walking with it freely, it could even be argued that the crime will go down. It could be argued. If everyone's carrying gun, it could be argued that this could reduce. Yeah, so I'm not saying for sure.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
So legalize guns.
Not necessarily guns. But it could be argued that because there's a cultural difference here, bro.
Yeah.
In the US, it's like constitutional right, Second Amendment.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's so like you cannot.
It's built into our blood and our culture. Yeah.
Mm. Whereas in the UK, it's not.
Guns are DNA. Yeah.
But then the problem of knife crime arises when you have asymmetry in access to weaponry. This guy, who's a, let's be honest, why is crime happening with these certain groups? It's happening because it's a high risk, high reward situation. Like you said, this guy might be getting money from it. This guy has got limited thing to lose. He's not going to make it into university in his mind. He might as well shot rocks in the blocks to get rocks. He might as well do this kind of thing. Do you know what I'm saying? It's actually a rational decision for them. They're not just being dumb and impulsive. They're thinking about it. Thinking, okay, I can make 60 grand a year or 80 grand or 100 grand selling certain thing, but I need to be armed because I have to be armed. You know? So in that situation, it becomes rational for them. If the state said everyone can have 10-inch knives, maybe it could argue, I'm not saying this for sure, maybe we have to look into this. It will reduce knife crime. Either all or nothing. I don't know for sure, but like, imagine like you're on the road, yeah? Like, let me ask you. If you knew everyone was carrying a knife, and if everyone knew that everyone else was carrying a knife, what would you think? How would that change the psychology?
No, you would think twice. You'd think three times.
You would, wouldn't it?
100%.
But if you knew they weren't and you were.
The devil's coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
No, real talk. So yeah. It's a very good point. But because you guys are so, bro, I'm seeing guys. I watched a documentary years ago of a guy in the back of a van selling a Glock for like $200. I'm like, what the? Bro, do you know if we got this in this country for $150? Bro, I told you it would be the purge. The UK would be like the purge.
Mm. Where does the anger come from?
I'm going to speak on my behalf, yeah?
The lack of sunlight. No, I'm just going to go ahead.
could be. But they're doing it in LA.
Allah might have forgiven you, and now you want to come back and say no more. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I'm going to speak from what happens when I speak to the youth. Well, they're not being heard. And the disrespect. Look, a lot of the youth also, they come from a very abusive background, where their father's being abusive towards their mother, and they can't release the anger out on the father because they get turned over, so they go and release it out on someone. So that's not all cases, mm-hmm. But bro, it's a lot of the cases. Sometimes it's being left out as well. You see other people prospering in life and you feel miserable and like you feel down with yourself and you feel like you don't have a vision. But the reality is, bro, if you're teaching the youth, because we're all Muslims here, alhamdulillah, if you're teaching the youth, my guy, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was poor. And he remained poor. Like, Allah could have given him the world and the gold and the land itself. Mm-hmm. But he chose to remain a humble servant. So, and guess what? Every single Prophet was a shepherd as well. So don't come to me with your, I can't do a 9-to-5 because I'm trapping and I'm making 5 grand a day. What are you talking about, bro? So they're so... How can I say this, bro? They're addicted to this fast life and fast money. Mm. But the reality is, I'll give you a prime example. There's one guy that I know. Well, for him just to drop his bin bags into the rubbish, the rubbish section in his flat or whatever it may be, yeah, he has to carry a gun in the UK. But you would say to him, bro, what are you on that? You got a family and he's like, bro, I've already told my family. If I were to get into a shootout with police, forget enemies, but with police, I'm not going back to prison, bro. They gotta kill me. Do you understand? This is the mindset they have. They can't. And look at the issues that's happening. East London's become one of the worst areas, bro, where we are right now. Muslims killing Muslims.
Wait, right here?
Yeah, bro.
Why are we here?
You guys in the country have a point.
You see what's with you?
Yo, what's up, man?
Do you have a gun or
something? We got our beers.
We have a lock.
We have a lock. We're protected.
We have a lock. We got you, my
guy.
You know what? To death and beyond, dachi.
Okay.
We're not like these English people where they're like, they get married until death do us part. Nah, bro. As Muslims, to death and beyond. So remember that, inshallah. And get that tattooed on your chest.
No, stop. No more tattoos for me, man. I don't want to get my shit tattoos,
bro. Wallahi, alhamdulillah, I've never tasted alcohol as well. Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy. Like, I'm proud of this. And I have no tattoo.
It's surprising me to hear from the outside looking in, because the way we talk about Islam in America is like, it's a way away from all the violence and from these problems. And then you come here and I have to admit, most of the knife crime and the violent crime is probably from a lot of the Muslim brothers, unfortunately.
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, but how does the deen, and of course, like the work that you do, it pushes people away from that and it gets them on their deen. Like,
it's a lack of knowledge, bro.
Right.
I'm trying to push them to the knowledge. Bro, you know when you came into the shop, you see the carpet outside. You know when you dust off your trainers because you might have had some dirt on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that carpet. Use me as to be that carpet before getting further into the religion and seeking knowledge from people of knowledge and your local imams and so on and so forth. So what I tend to do now, bro, is that if I'm drawing the youth in, I have someone of knowledge with me.
Mm.
So the someone of knowledge will say...
See how you guys
do that.
You
understand, Khalil? Bring someone of knowledge.
Yeah.
Let them speak about the religion. And then after that, let me resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
And what the youth want, they want you to be vulnerable like them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm speaking about certain aspects of my life and certain aspects of the road,
mm-hmm.
I'm opening up myself to them. Bro, I'm a waste man. I'm a waste man because I don't worship Allah properly. Because I disobeyed my parents.
Right.
That makes you in sperm, bro.
Right. Wait, for Americans, what is a waste man? What is that?
A waste man is a coward.
That's funny, I don't even know why it's funny. It's funny, man, I don't know. Why is that funny?
This is the hijab.
I'm a waste man. I'm a waste man is equivalent to your cowardness, still. Okay. In America. Now, waste man is someone.
You talk about proud brave.
Yeah.
You say, oh, we're so brave, and then you say, I'm a waste man. And then you say, what's a waste man? I'm a coward. Like, I'm a coward.
I'm learning the
road
man language.
In a beauty sense.
A waste man is like a waste of space, right?
A waste of space. Someone that doesn't benefit the society.
Yeah.
He doesn't benefit his
a
family.
A bum, basically.
Yeah,
a bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best word for
yeah.
a bum.
Yeah.
Someone that doesn't benefit anyone and anything around him. That's a waste man.
Mm.
So when I say I'm a waste man, it's not to humble myself, but in a sense where like is that I could do more, bro. You could do more. You could seek more knowledge. You could do more prayers. You could do more for the youth. You see, I don't like all of this talking. You've probably seen some of my talk. I saw
yeah.
you doing a reaction to it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Man.
Which one?
There was a talk I'd done, Sneaker was doing a reaction. This was before he was Muslim, so I could say what I want to say now.
Oh, man.
What was it?
I don't remember what I said.
He wanted to get choked out. He needed to...
What, you were refuting him?
No. I was just talking.
What, did I say something bad?
I was just talking,
yeah.
And then Sneaker was like... He was doing a reaction to a video of mine talking about the roads. And then I was like, people are dying.
Yeah.
Like, look at the recent, what happened with the guy in the Lamborghini in the post office.
Mm.
And the postman, sorry. And so on.
Mm.
And the sneaker was like, I learned the way they talk in London. And they tried to give like an English accent.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah. I said, yeah? But alhamdulillah, Allah guided you before I got to you still.
Yeah. I don't even remember that.
Allah love you still.
That sounds like
no, I'll bring it up.
Okay.
But... Bro, what, from someone that's on social media yourself, what do you feel like is missing from just your comment section and from people approaching you face to face and speaking to you?
In terms of the deen?
In terms of the youngsters, the youth, Muslim or non-Muslim.
What is missing?
Yeah.
I think what you and what Warner are doing, I think that that's good. Like being people that connect to non-Muslims, and because a lot of sheikhs, they come off with this idea that you're not supposed to confess your sins, and you're supposed to be perfect. A lot of them are afraid to like smoke shisha on camera, but off camera they might. I haven't seen that, but that's an example of what I'm talking about. I think the relatability, people that talk like them, that act like them. I think the reason that someone like Sheikh Uthman is really effective is because he talks about his past. He talks about like how he stayed away from the deen and you know his history with gang violence and how he came back to it and how it changed his life.
It's definitely relatability, bro.
Yeah, yes. Relatability is a big part.
Yeah.
Is a huge part.
Yeah.
But definitely. You get it, it's a lot. But you see, every single person that actually resonates with the youth all have the same gift, and the gift is you have to show them that you're vulnerable, just like them. Do you understand? Show them that you're vulnerable, bro. They need to understand what it means. Hey, Muhammad.
You have to show vulnerability.
Mm.
Yeah.
100%.
Should we have another one for you?
No, I'm okay. That was nice, but that's enough.
Absolutely, bro.
That's not alcohol, by the way. For
yeah, that is nice.
No.
Blue Lagoon.
Really?
Yeah, you want?
No.
Oh, really good.
Try one.
You try it.
Really try it. Muhammad, try it.
They close the thing.
Muhammad, try
some of that.
What is that?
Huh?
Blue Lagoon.
Gonna try some.
Blue Lagoon.
What
it's called a mocktail. Mocktail.
Banging.
Right.
It's all right.
He lives a good life already.
It's like
drinking
from a swimming pool.
This is life for him. It's below average.
Yeah. Well, Aki, let me ask you. What do you think that that Muslim influencers could improve on?
I hate that term, Muslim influencers.
Right. But well, what else?
Layman.
I guess just, you know, Muslims that talk in front of a camera all day long, because it's very difficult, you know, in that world. It's just you're signing up to be in the world of shaitan.
Okay.
So how could we do a better job, and how do you think we misrepresent Islam? What do you think that we could do better going forward?
Someone that's around me that's very, very close to me said this to me, yeah?
Okay.
The more you are in the public eye, the more you need to do in secret between you and Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Because all of the things that you're doing in the public eye wouldn't mean nothing, bro.
Yeah.
If your relationship with Allah is at a minimum, you understand?
Sure.
There's. You wanna work on your relationship with the creation and not the creator. So that itself kind of exposes your intentions, as Umar ibn Khattab would say. We could judge by what is apparent, and from what is apparent, actually everyone is a clout chaser,
mm-hmm.
and. Even in the Muslims, everyone wants good for you until you become better than them.
Mm.
Ah, bro, they will support you, they do that. The moment they see you surpass them, bro, that's when this slander and the backbiting comes in. Ask every single one of us here, bro. Everyone can tell you this.
That's true, bro. Look, I mean, the thing is, you're dealing with resentment and jealousy a lot of the time.
Allah.
And we don't know, like, a lot of people would desire fame, man.
Mm.
So they'll see people that have got it. And a lot of us in this room.
So Yusuf.
And they'll say like, okay, well, they'll start attacking you. And the reason why they're doing it, the motivation they're doing it, is because they want to be famous. And you've got what they want. So they have to find a reason to attack you. It's a cheap but superficial reality.
Mm.
How do you, I want to ask all of you that, how do you deal with that? Because desiring and chasing fame is a form of shirk, I think, in a way, because you want to be worshipped like a god, like God is worshipped. Mm-hmm. You know, wanting to be that famous person, like sometimes that's happened before. I've seen it. People like will bow down, like they'll literally perform sujood like in front of you, like you're an idol.
Mm.
How do you balance that? Because it's a very fine line, and it's not something that Muslims had to deal with for centuries. Is this issue of fame?
Well, you know, it's a very difficult question because you know, like you. I think people are like this, yeah, and this is usually in the self-help books and stuff. They say, think win-win, which is the following. You always ask yourself the question, if you make more money in life, or you get more fame, or you have more power, those three things in particular, if you're a strategist about how you kind of distribute those resources, and you want people to be on your side, whether they're on your team or not, like Muslims and stuff, you have to share it. And you have to be a benefit to them.
Mm.
So how do you do that? So for example, with money, right? If you're making more money, you have to start sharing this money. Because if you don't share it,
yeah, breaking bread.
So let me explain what I mean by that. So for example, like, let's say you're making £30,000 a year or whatever, and then you start making £80,000. Now people start realizing that you're making more money. They will. It's just a natural thing for them to be jealous about that. Okay, now you have to understand human nature. That's how human nature works. They're gonna feel that certain way. So they might want to harm you. They might want to speak bad about you. They might want to take what you have. They might want to even remove what you have, whatever it may be. Unless you make your success their success. So for example, if they're a close person to you, if they're your cousin, if they're your brother, if they're your friend, you bring them in, you say, listen, this is what's happening, and we're all gonna succeed together. So it's win-win. So now when you're winning, they're winning. So they're less likely to feel jealous and resentful. Now, that's easy to do with your inner circle, because you can easily just bring them in to financial things. But what about with the wider community? You have to provide benefit to the wider community. So that if you actually provide real benefit to the wider community, they may say, we don't like this guy. We don't like his mannerisms. I'm pretty sure everybody on this table...
maybe he's going to say something funny.
No, with the exception of maybe with yourself, because you're less controversial, but everybody, like, you know,
right,
who's been famous, is like, oh, we don't like how he approaches this, we don't like his mannerisms, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But if there's a redeeming quality, which is that, however, he's procuring this benefit for our community. So all of the negatives end up being a positive. Mm-hmm. Because he's bringing people to Islam, or because he's relating to the youth, there's this redeeming quality, then I think they will tolerate us. If you don't have a redeeming quality, they won't tolerate you. You're intolerable to the community. So I think you have to think win-win. If you're becoming more successful, don't just think, oh, well, these guys have to work on their diseases of the hearts and so on. That's one way of approaching it, but you're not going to quash the issue with that. Nope. You have to think win-win. How do I bring these people, how do I give them benefit so that they don't act in such a jealous manner towards me?
Right.
And whether it's with power, share the power. Whether it's with money, share the money. Whether it's with fame, use your fame for a benefit that everyone can accept. Whether it's raising money for charity, because everyone accepts that if you're using your fame to raise funds for charity, for example, that, okay, this guy's using it, he's at least doing this redeeming quality, or this guy's using it for this purpose. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I want to ask all of you about this, but that just reminded me, I forgot to mention this. You guys can go to projectiftar.org/Nico right now. For every $2,
No, that's real.
We're doing something.
Oh, is it real one?
Yeah, no, it's real. It's not like an ad. It's not like an ad. No, I'm being serious. I forgot to mention it.
He was exactly doing what you were saying.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that this whole stream. Projectiftar.org.
Let him know that he gives back.
Yeah. I need to mention that now before we continue. But we had a long conversation about that, about how to deal with faith. It doesn't seem like you deal with as many of those issues as maybe we do.
The truth is, like, for me, I think it depends on the person. For me, honestly, I despise fame. But look, there are harmful effects of fame that I'm going to mention now, which I would struggle with, that everyone would struggle with. But the side of wanting the people to recognize me when I walk into the room, that's the opposite of what I want, because I'm a very private person. That's why people don't know my background, don't know where I said. I like privacy, right? I don't like someone I do not know. Okay, he knows me through social media. He loves me and all of that, okay? And love in Islam is important. But he comes up to you, he already knows you, you don't know them. Mm. But he's approaching you in a way that he already knows you, right? That's what fame does, right? He wants to hug you, relationship, all of that. And look, you don't know the brother. Of course, you have to be humble. You humble yourself because you know why they recognize you, because you're doing something, right? Mm. But for me, I am a very private person. That's why I never wanted to be.
But let me ask you a question, bro.
Yeah.
Let me challenge you a little bit.
Go ahead.
If you could press a button that deleted all your social media, and that it can transfer, like AI can be generated, your voice changes, your face changes on all of your videos, you can still have the same benefit, but it's a different person. Would you press that button? That's a good question. Man. Would you, yeah?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
I would press that
button.
Before
being on social media, like, if you know some of the brothers who go to the corner, you can even speak to them on this. Yeah. I didn't want to make a channel. Because, as I said, I like privacy. This is true.
I was doing research on you before this interview. I couldn't find anything about you. I don't know what to ask you. I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Who is this guy?
Like, how did he get here?
I did. We did extensive extensive research. Like, what? Nothing. Nothing. Wallahi, there's nothing about you.
That's why there's no Wikipedia page. That's why there's no Wikipedia
page. Right now.
There's like two speakers on each side. You know.
So this is because when I say I'm a private person, I mean it. A lot of people,
oh yeah, you are.
A lot of people don't mean it, but I do actually mean it, right? Yeah. So this is, I don't struggle from that aspect of wanting people to recognize. But there are other harmful aspects. The aspects of the control, the power you get with you speaking.
Yeah.
People listen to you now.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start thinking that, no, you're a person of authority now.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you to disagree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, someone comes on live stream and says, brother, you said this is wrong. Who are you to disagree with me?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do in your life? You start building this, you know, ego. You start building. This is the biggest harmful aspect, I would say, aspect of faith. Is you trying to, you know, have ujub, like self adornment, loving yourself, thinking you are above other people, which then you would demean the other people. Like, for example, and I've said this, and I would say this publicly, I never have any problem with any Muslim on any social media platform to make a video correcting me on something that I said that was wrong. As long as he knows this is publicly, he doesn't have to message me, he doesn't have to, and I'm saying it here for everyone, for a life for people to know. I don't care. Because look, okay, if he's doing it, either way, it's a win-win situation for me. If he is doing it out of jealousy, I will have my right on the day of judgment, right? If he's doing it out of goodness, then he's correcting me, he's benefiting me. I'll come back, I'll say, yeah, his brother corrected me, he's wrong. I want my safety on the day of judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have issue with this happening. The problem is, as I said, this is the harmful aspect of fame that I noticed, is that you start having, you know what, comments, you go on my channel, maybe other brothers' channels as well, 99.9% are people praising you, right? Sometimes people over-praising you. And that can have a huge effect on your heart. It, because, okay, we are human beings in the end. People continue to praise you, Don't say it will not have an effect on me. Like, I don't have it. Who are you? You're a human being, right? So this is, I think, is the biggest harmful effect. That then you start doing things, wanting also people to praise the actions that you're doing. Not necessarily recognize you, so it's not this aspect of fame, but to always be right. Always to be the correct person. Always, no one is going to refute me. No one is going to be above me. You're going to listen to me because I know what I'm talking about, right? These aspects, I find the most problematic aspects. And this is what I've noticed, right? The brothers, for example, like that here do da'wah in the UK, and I've noticed it with them personally, right? When I sat down one-to-one level and brought evidences, like, brother, you've done this, which is wrong. And I did it privately. And the brother, you know, he says, yes, this is wrong. Okay, I'm going to remove it when I'm home. Then the thing is still there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, someone disagreed with me to the extent one time, I'm not going to mention who this person is, and there was something he mentioned. He said about one, I don't even want to mention it because I don't want him to recognize the exact thing, but he said something, he said, this Prophet X didn't do X. And I said, brother, this is not correct, because he said, you Christians have this, we don't have it. But we do have that same thing that you were criticizing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful about what you're criticizing. Then I provided to him, he kept arguing, until I sent him a verse of the Quran, where it explicitly opposes what he's saying, literally, word for word. Then he started saying, okay, and then he didn't clarify, he didn't remove the video, he didn't do anything. So then it becomes this problem, right? Because I'm engaging with non-Muslims a lot, I have the truth, so I'm winning the argument. So I start thinking now that I win every argument out there, no one can correct me now, you know? Now I have the truth, I'm correcting everything that I say, what I say is the absolute truth. This becomes the biggest issue, I say. This is the issue of ego. And the jealousy is there. There are groups, and I've left many of these groups before, certain people on social, the brothers doing da'wah, this or that, and they would be criticizing other du'a or other people in that group. Okay, a group of 60 people. That person is not there, and you're talking about him behind his back. For what reason? And he would do something good, right? He would do something good. They're not going to mention the good. They would look at the 0.1 second of whatever bad thing was in the video, and all of them in the group will be, oh, this is very harmful, this is very bad, yeah, how could he do this, this and that, and they will be talking about it. And this is a sad reality, honestly. It is a sad reality that, yeah, with fame, you need to understand, you are still a person who came from a sperm drop. If it left, it will start to stink. This is the truth, this is what you are as a human being. Where do you come from?
Sperms.
Yeah.
Wait to wait to start stinking, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So,
okay, you're saying that's a good point. What were you thinking?
Now, look, I agree with you fully, wholeheartedly. And I feel like if anybody, you see, we live in a time and age where everybody wants their voices to be heard, but it depends on what type of audience are hearing that voice. So I'll give you a prime example, bro.
Okay.
If I make mistakes, I would love to be corrected. That's according to the Quran and the Sunnah.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to, bro. I'm a layman at the end of the day, not an imam. No scholar, I'm just that guy. I make mistakes, huh?
A waste money.
No, 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 no.
I'm the only person that puts up with.
Okay, okay. I'm learning the lingo.